What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Andrew Ivins, joined as always by my man, David Lake, not David Lee. We've taped this intro four times because I keep stumbling through it. I don't know why. David,
you're excited, dude. It's Florida State.
I'm excited. I'm amped. We're talking Florida State today. That's all it's about. Previewing the rivalry game. Let's start this thing off. Is Miami going to win number four in a row over the Seminoles?
I think so. I mean, I think a lot of things would have to go wrong for Miami to lose this game. So, yes, I feel fairly confident that Miami will win the game. You know, the margin of that victory, I think, is up for debate. But I feel good that Miami is pretty much the better team on Saturday.
Do you feel better about Miami winning this game than you did last season?
Yes.
Okay. What about 2018?
2018, honestly, I mean, we talked about it in the last podcast, but it's similar vibes, right? Like, I felt pretty confident Miami was going to win that game. And FSU came out and honestly looked like the better team, way better team in the first half.
Right.
So, you know, again, this is Miami, Florida State. It's typically close, no matter what situation each team is dealing with. So, you know, proceed with caution. But, I mean, look, on paper, judging off the results we have in this early 2020 season, like, I mean, Miami is the better team right now.
Well, I think we hashed that out at kind of length last podcast. Let's get some stuff out of the way, some housekeeping. We are recording this on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So you always have to say that in the COVID era because things can rapidly change. I don't think there's any indication that Miami's game would be pushed back or anything like that, but we've seen Notre Dame already postpone its game against Wake Forest this week. FAU USF has been postponed. So I just want to get that out of the way. So if you're listening to this on Saturday and you're like, "What? How did they miss out on that?" That's the reason why, because we're recording it now. David, let's just get into it, I guess, right away. What is the key to the game for Miami? Like, how does Miami go move to 3-0, stay in the national spotlight, and win a fourth straight over a rival?
Yeah, I think if you wanted to simplify it, it's two main areas. I think Miami's defensive line has to whip Florida State's offensive line up front. So, and you know, that's kind of what we saw last year. That was the biggest recipe for success in last year's victory for Miami. And then I think, honestly, from the offensive side, I think it kind of just boils down to limiting the turnovers. So in these rivalry games, momentum is huge. You don't want to give Florida State any potential momentum off of, you know, forcing a turnover if you're Miami's offense. I think luckily you feel, you know, going into this game, you feel good about the way that Miami's offense has protected the football so far. I think throughout his college career, Derek King has proven to be a guy that protects the football at a pretty high level. So if that trend continues, I think those are kind of the two keys for Miami this week. You know, Miami does have one turnover this year. I think it was just the Mark Pope muff punt. So, but the offense has not turned the ball over. And really, there's been like one or two maybe dicey-ish throws, but they weren't like, you know, super like, oh my gosh, that should have been picked.
Well, I mean, there was like one, I think.
Maybe one against Louisville. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like on the sideline, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But
I think there was a tipped one that came close, but you can't really put that on Derek.
Right. So I guess what we're saying is, look, if Miami comes out and, you know, doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, to use a cliche, they should go out and beat Florida State. They are the better team. So it's all about just going out and playing a clean game. In my mind,
I'm going off script here. I got two questions for you. Sure. First one, you wrote about Kirk Herbstreit compared Derek King to Russell Wilson. And I know people are like cringing about that. Right. I kind of like the comp in terms of guy who doesn't make, like, put himself in a bunch of bad positions. Right. And I know we just talked about maybe he should have thrown an interception against Louisville and then you had the tip pass. But I do think D'Eriq is pretty, like, if it's not there, I'm going to throw it away or I'll tuck it in and run, and I'm very efficient. So from Kirk right. Herbstreit's perspective of that, I see that. And I do think they have, like, a similar kind of running style in the open field. So I liked it. I hate when people compare college or even high school kids to top five players in, like, the NFL. But
right.
I think it works when you talk similarities.
Yes, I can see it. I do think it's fair to point out with the caveat that Herbstreit made that comp to the college level Russell Wilson. So okay. to your point, he's not saying he is, you know, the, you know, MVP level Russell Wilson on the Seahawks currently. He compared him, and honestly too, he tied in the transfer, right? So Russell Wilson transferred from NC State to Wisconsin as a senior. D'Eriq King obviously transferred to Miami as a senior. And he just feels like the way they carry themselves with maturity and steadiness. And then, like you alluded to, the similarities in playing style, I think, are there. I do think Russell, you know, if I'm going to nitpick the comp, you know, Russell has more arm talent, right? But that's not to say D'Eriq King's a bad thrower. I don't think he is. I think D'Eriq is an underrated thrower. But, you know, Russell Wilson is a freaky thrower, especially for his size. So if I was nitpicking, I would say that's the biggest difference between the two.
Even more off script here, but I got to get your take on this. Like, NC State claims Russell Wilson, I think, but he spent his final year at Wisconsin. What is Miami going to do with D'Eriq King? Let's say he does make it to the next level. Like, is he going to be remembered as Miami guy or Miami D'Eriq King or Houston D'Eriq King? I think it's definitely Miami.
I mean, we'll see how the season goes, but I think it is going to be Miami too. I mean, you know, Miami is the bigger program, right?
Yeah.
So I think, and you know, Jed, we'll see, again, we'll see how the season goes, but there's the potential for D'Eriq to play on some bigger stages with Miami, obviously yeah. compared to his Houston career. So yeah, I think he'll be remembered as a Miami player.
And UM is going to fully embrace like should. Him. Yeah.
They should. Yeah. Moving forward, you know, you would hope that they can continue to recruit and add quarterbacks like him to the roster. So they should definitely lean into that.
Second off script question, dude, is Mark Pope going to get it together this game? Cause before I hit record on this thing, you were telling me how you think it's all going to come together because he was targeted 10 times against Louisville. So tell the listeners why you are still pounding the table for Mark Pope.
Well, I don't know if it'll come together this game, but I do think there is going to be a Mark Pope game. It's fairly clear that this coaching staff, the offensive staff, and honestly special teams, believes that there is playmaking ability with Mark Pope. You know, he was, like you said, he was targeted 10 times against Louisville. That was the most of any receiver. He caught four of those balls for 64 yards, I believe. You know, he dropped an easy one on the sideline that, you know, I don't know, would have been 20-ish yards. So, I mean, look, he's got to make those catches, obviously, but those targets tell you that the Miami coaching staff believes there is something there. And I think they know once they pull it out of Mark Pope, it's going to start rolling downhill with him, because my eyes tell me it's kind of like a confidence issue with him. And he just needs to have that performance where he believes in himself again. And I think once he gets to that Mark Pope, he's going to be, you know, I don't know if he's going to be like wide receiver one or whatever, but he's going to be more reliable and he's going to make more plays than, of course, we've seen so far. So I think it's coming. I'm not going to predict what game it's going to come, but I do think a Mark Pope, quote unquote, breakout game is going to happen sometime.
I think if you're just kind of like looking at the schedule, this wouldn't be the matchup where the Mark Pope game kind of comes. And that's primarily because Florida State, if you do look at the strength of kind of their team, I would kind of argue it might be the secondary. What they got going on the back end, and that kind of transitions in what do I want to discuss next. And that's scouting the Seminoles. Like, what do you think they do well from what you've seen, I guess, through one game? We saw the Georgia Tech game, and obviously they're on a bye this past weekend. But I would believe you agree with me that the strength of Florida State's kind of roster is that secondary.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of intriguing talent in that secondary, led by Asante Samuel Jr., who's, you know, he's a very, very good zone corner. So he will sit in his zone and he pounces. Like, he's very quick to react to when balls come in his area, and he will make you pay with interceptions when that happens. So yes, he's kind of the leader of the group. They got some talented safeties. You know, Travis Jay is a redshirt freshman to know. Definitely an impressive physical talent.
Is he going to play offense? Like, I heard on the bench, our Florida State podcast and the 24/7 Sports Network, like, they were not campaigning for him to play offense, but it seems like they think he might play some, like, receiver or maybe even Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is some buzz there that maybe he should get a look as a Wildcat quarterback, just to mix things up, because he did play quarterback at the high school level, and he is a dynamic athlete. He's their kick and punt returner, so that tells you about his athleticism. I think I would expect Florida State to have some sort of package outside of James Blackman at quarterback, whether that's Jordan Travis, who is also an athletic guy. He's, you know, one of their backup quarterbacks. Doesn't really offer much throwing the ball, but he does have very good long speed, and he ran for, you know, some long touchdowns last year in 2019 for them. And Travis Jay would be in that similar mold. He's a better athlete than Jordan Travis. So yeah, I mean, I do think there's going to be some sort of package. I don't know if Travis Jay necessarily is going to get looks in that regard, but I would expect Jordan Travis to.
We should go ahead.
I was going to say, so the strength of Florida State is their secondary. So what will that mean for Miami's receivers? You know, I wouldn't necessarily expect them to have the biggest day. I think it'll be, you know, similar to Louisville. Like, Miami, the strength of Miami's offense is their tight ends and their running backs. So in the passing game, I would look for Rhett Lashley to continue to lean into that.
Talking offensively with Florida State, you mentioned Jordan Travis, Travis Jay. Travis Jay was a really good prep quarterback. I mean, not really good prep quarterback in terms of a passer, but as a playmaker and runner at Madison County. I remember watching him up in Orlando at the state title game. I think Willie's first year, so that was 2 or 3 years ago. But we got to point out, Mike Norvell will not be coaching on Saturday. Norvell does call plays for the Seminoles. Right. So it's what's the situation there? It's Kenny Dillingham that will be serving as the play caller, the offensive coordinator on Saturday?
Yeah, it's Kenny Dillingham, who, you know, I think it's fair to classify him as a Mike Norvell protege. He's respected as a young, up-and-coming offensive mind, offensive coordinator. You know, I feel like I'm not necessarily the oldest guy. You know, I'm 35 years old, but Kenny Dillingham makes me feel old, because I think he's something like, I don't know, 27, 28, 29, and looks young too. So it's kind of funny thinking about this guy running the offense, but he has the full trust of Mike Norvell. He definitely has credentials. I think previous to Florida State, he was the offensive coordinator at Auburn, I think last year, if I have that right.
Right.
Or he was a quarterback's coach. So, you know, he's going to be calling the plays. If I'm Manny Diaz and Blake Baker, I'm definitely going to test that situation with some minor tweaks or minor wrinkles, whatever that means, you know, from Miami's defense. I want to have to make Kenny Dillingham have to make some adjustments to what I do and see how he handles those situations. So, you know, we talked about in the last podcast how it's a big deal for a college football program to not have its head coach for a big time rivalry game. On top of that, you know, he's the play caller, and you know, Kenny Dillingham is thrust into a situation that you know, he might be ready for, but he's going to have to prove himself.
Well, it's certainly a difficult one. It's not like Florida State had a ton of success in their opener against Georgia Tech. I think there was a lot of things they needed to work on and kind of figure out during practice. And you know, Mike Norvell's not there. So, but I would anticipate there's probably going to be some, you mentioned wrinkles from Blake Baker and Manny Diaz. You know, who knows what Dillingham's going to do in terms of special packages, potential trick plays and whatnot. But I think it really, this game to me comes down to is how is Florida State going to block Miami's defensive line? And do you take an approach like UAB did in week one against Miami where they were trying to get the ball out as fast as they can? Like, I think that's the only way you're going to find some success against Miami. So maybe Kenny Dillingham like leans on that, but
if I was FSU, I would, like you said, work the quick game. I would work the misdirection game too, because, you know, I think one thing we've seen from this Miami defense through two games, it's not necessarily like a young group, but it is a group, you know, particularly in the front seven. It's a group that is either their first year in this Miami defense or their first year in a new role, right? So like even Zach McCloud, he's been around forever. He started a ton of games. This is his real like first season as a weak side linebacker. Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche have played college ball, but it's their first year in this Miami system. Nesta Silvera has played a ton of college ball, but this is his first year as a full-time starter. Bradley Jennings, first year as a full-time starter. So the point I'm trying to make is we've seen this Miami defense. In my opinion, the strength so far of this front seven is you can tell they are very fast. It's a fast group. They're athletic, and they play really hard, which are all very good things, right? That's what you want to see. I think where this group gets in trouble, though, is they're not necessarily sound with their assignments, and you can get this group to bite hard on some play action or misdirection type stuff, and that could potentially open up some big gains. So if I'm FSU, I'm trying to continue to test Miami's front seven in that regard. Now, I do think, you know, as the season progresses, Miami's front seven is going to get more disciplined with this and better with this. But Florida State, yes, the misdirection stuff. And then also, too, Tamorian Terry, you know, in my opinion, he's a big advantage outside if you can get him the ball. That's where Miami's pass rush comes into play. And honestly, that's why Miami has done a good job of limiting Tamorian Terry the past 2 years in this matchup. He hasn't necessarily been able to get loose like he has against, you know, the vast majority of other ACC teams that Florida State plays. So getting the pass rush home is going to be key if you want to limit those Tamorian Terry deep shots, because if he gets the ball in his hands on a deep shot, it's pretty much always a touchdown.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Florida State is dealing with some injuries up front. Am I wrong? Yeah. Like, I know they had a starting five, and the analytic numbers said that starting five was pretty good. But against Georgia Tech, once they started to have to go to the bench is when the offensive line kind of broke down. So what is the latest with that? Or are there going to be guys out on Saturday?
I think kind of like all of them sustained some sort of injury, it seemed like, during the course of the game. I think the only one to really keep an eye on is their right tackle. I think his name's Devontae Love Taylor. He's
FIU
transfer, and he played well against Miami last year while at FIU. So he's kind of the only one I think where, you know, that injury might be lingering a little bit going into this game. You know, the guys at Knowles 24/7, I was on their podcast just before we started recording, and they were telling me they expect him to play. They expect him to start, but he's not necessarily like over the injury. So we'll see how that plays out with their offensive line. They do feel like, you know, to your point, outside of that starting five, it gets kind of ugly when they start having to go to guys in that second team. So it's definitely a storyline to keep an eye on. Watch that right tackle and see how he does at the start of the game.
Let's take a quick break on the other side, get into some players that will need to step up for Miami. Also get into the sports line projections, which have been kind of not really spot on, but the score projections have been. And then we'll give our take on who wins Saturday.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, David, I'm looking at William Hill Sportsbook right now. Miami's still an 11-point favorite over the Seminoles. I thought this would have, the line would have jumped up a little bit more, but maybe that doesn't happen until Friday or Saturday, as people want to know if there'll be anyone who's COVID positive or anything like that. I think that's going to be the trend this season when it comes to betting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, this year you just got to be patient because who knows who's going to be out? Who knows if games will even get canceled? So
right.
I think Saturday it's going to rise a little bit, but you never know with gambling. That's part of the fun.
So I wanted to kind of outline a potential player of the game for Miami and then someone who needs to step up. We've done this the past two games. I'm going to start with the guy that I think needs to step up for Miami. And it kind of plays into what we were discussing with Florida State's offensive line. I'm going to go Nesta Silveira. Last year against Florida State, I think was probably his best game to date in a green and orange uniform. And if Miami is going to handle business, I think everyone on that defensive line is probably going to need to have a big night. So for me, he's someone that I think needs to step up for sure.
Yeah, I like that pick. You know, like you said, I think too, there's something to the fact where Nesta is that dude that steps up for these games, right? Like he's a guy that plays with that nasty edge. And I think that gets amplified in these rivalry type games against Florida State. And I think that's why he showed out last year against Florida State. So I think that's a good pick and we'll see if he can do it again this year. My pick would be same, you know, defensive line. I'm going to go Jalen Phillips. You know, it's time for Jalen to get his first sack as a Hurricane, right?
So he doesn't have one.
He does not have one. I don't think Quincy Roche has one, but I don't think Jalen has one yet.
I mean, you're right. I guess I didn't realize that until now.
Yeah. So, you know, Florida State's offensive line, we'll see if they improve, you know, from the Georgia Tech game and from last year. But if they don't, there's going to be those opportunities for Jalen to get his first career sack. And certainly Miami needs to win that battle with their pass rush on the edge in order to handle Florida State on Saturday.
He was the guy, Jalen, I said potential player of the game. And why? Because remember what Greg Russo did last season against Florida State? Like, I think the opportunity will be there for a ton of sacks.
Right.
And maybe it's Quincy Roche, but maybe it's Jalen Phillips. I just think someone on the edge will have an opportunity to eat. Is that what the kids would say? Like, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I keep hammering home. That's where I think the game will be determined on the line of scrimmage. But he's one. What about you? Who do you got for potential breakout? I feel like you got someone on offense.
Are you saying breakout or player of the game?
Player of the game. Sorry.
Player of the game, I'm going to go with, I think I named him last game too, but Brevin Jordan I'm going to go him again. I just think he's so important to their passing game. And, you know, if Hamsa Nasruldeen, who is an important player for FSU's defense, still kind of working his way back from a knee injury he sustained last year, didn't play against Georgia Tech, was listed on the depth chart for this week's game. I don't think it's necessarily a given that he's going to play. But anyways, he would be a guy that would be valuable for Florida State to try and contain Brevin Jordan. And also, too, like, I just think Brevin Jordan is clearly the go-to guy in the passing game. Miami and Rhett Lashley have to figure ways out every week to get him the ball a ton. And I think if they are able to get him the ball, good things are going to happen in the passing game. So I will go with Brevin Jordan. I think in that 2018 game, right, he made, you know, arguably the play of the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When Nicosi hit him in the fourth quarter for, I don't know if he scored, but he got him.
No, 41 yards.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if FSU's personnel outside of Hamsa Nasruldeen, who, again, we'll see if he's available, I don't know if they match up well against Brevin Jordan. So I would say him. Who do you got?
Like I said, it was going to be potential player of the game for me was Jalen Phillips. I think if I had to make a pick on the offensive side of the ball, kind of maybe a sleeper, I'm going to go with Jalen Knighton. You know,
you're just ripping hearts out, Florida State Seminoles hearts out.
No, I think we're going to see a ton of carries for Cam Harris, and I think they'll try to get him going. But I'm not saying there's any bad blood between Florida State and Miami when it comes to Jalen Knighton. But I think if I'm Manny Diaz and you get to a point in the game where, you know, I'm not running Cam Harris, I don't want to run my number one running back anymore, but it's either Don Chaney or Jalen Knighton where I could feed carries, I think Manny could definitely lean on Rooster and smile kind of on the sidelines. And look, man, like back-to-back games, Jalen has had electric plays. Why can't we see another one of those?
Let me get your thoughts on this. Gervin Hall, we'll see. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to play. I'm not saying he is going to play. I'm just saying we don't know. Like, Manny Diaz was asked on Monday, and his answer was essentially like, we'll see how the week progresses for him. So, Gervin Hall, if he – number one, do you think Miami should play him? Do you think he will play? Do you think they can get away with just playing Amari Carter and Bubba Bolden this week and shelf Hall and get him ready for Clemson? What's your take on that?
Well, if there's one position where like a starter can go down, and I think you're pretty confident that the other guy that's inserted is going to do fine, it's definitely safety. So I think if he's not a full go clear, then they should absolutely rest him and play Amari and Bubba. I guess the one concern would be, you know, does Amari get a targeting call or something like that?
Right.
No, I'm going to assume, I mean, I have no inside information on this or anything. I think if he's going to be a go, they're going to play him, but they can probably get the job done with.
I agree.
Bubba and Amari, and I mean, who would be the number three? Would it be Balaam?
I think it'd be Balaam. Yeah, that's my understanding. So it would be a drop off. You know, I think maybe what we'll see is similar like snap counts we saw against Louisville, where, you know, Bolden and Carter definitely played more, and you know, Hall played about half as many snaps. So maybe we'll see something like that. You know, I do think Gervin, when healthy, is, like, in my opinion, it should be Gervin and Bubba.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, Amari Carter, in my opinion, played pretty well against Louisville. Like, that's one of the better games I remember him playing at Miami. So I just think it's something interesting to keep an eye on in this game. And like you said, like Amari and his targeting stuff, like he's got to be more aware of that if Gervin is limited in any way this week.
Let's dive into the Sportsline projections. You know, Alan Bell from Sportsline, we had him on the podcast before the season started. Each week we've kind of looked at what their computers are churning out. So their score projection is Miami winning 30-17. They got King throwing for 218 yards, basically two touchdowns, also with 35 yards on the ground. The one number that kind of like really jumped out to me is they got James Blackman completing 20 of 33 pass attempts for 229 yards in his projections. David, do you think that's obtainable? Can Florida State throw for that many yards?
I think they can, to be honest. I think they're going to have to throw the ball. So that's why I say that. Like, I don't believe in their running game, to be honest. Like, I think this is the weakest FSU rushing attack in a long time. Like, I just don't think they have very talented running backs from what we saw against Georgia Tech. So I think they're going to have to throw the ball to move it. And, you know, if you look, you know, you watched that Georgia Tech game and you saw like Tamorian Terry dropped a long touchdown pass.
Yeah.
If he catches that, James Blackman, you know, is near that 300 yard mark. Warren Thompson dropped two catchable balls in that game. If he catches those balls, you know, he's in that 300 yard mark. So I think it is possible for James Blackman to hit 229, but I think that the question with that, to be honest, would be how much of a wildcat package is FSU going to roll out? Because that would obviously limit the throwing chances of Blackman. But if it's just Blackman primarily playing quarterback, I think he can throw for more than 229, in my opinion.
You also got to think that, I mean, we're both anticipating maybe Miami to be out in front, so Florida State's going to have to throw the ball. Sure.
Which happened against Louisville, you know, like, you know, Louisville essentially threw for 150 yards in the fourth quarter alone. And, you know, it was largely garbage time. A lot of those yards and points. But that's part of the fun of betting it, right?
Yeah. Leading receiver for Miami, once again, Sportsline thinks it's going to be Brevin Jordan. They say four catches for 52 yards. Brevin Jordan has been like a popular prop bet the past two games. Like, you can always kind of get him. Week one, it was 52 yards over under. I took the over. Of course, he was under with like 50 yards. And then
last week,
I think it was like 58 or something like that. And he absolutely smashed that. I'm setting it at 65 yards. Would you take the over or the under?
I'll take the over because I picked him as player of the game, right? So... to me, it comes down to targets, to receptions. Like, if he gets five receptions, I think you feel good about his chance to get over 65 yards. You know, if he gets six receptions, like, I think it'll be a done deal. But, you know, we've seen some games where, like in the UAB game, he only got, like, four targets, and I think he caught three balls for the 50 yards, like you said. So, yeah, if he catches, like, five balls – I feel good about the over in that. And he should catch five balls in this game. Like, he needs to be that type of weapon for Miami this year.
Oh, it's would you agree with my stance that TE one for Miami is really wide receiver one?
Like, yeah. Essentially he's a slot receiver. Like, all of his snaps are lining up in the slot pretty much. So, which is smart, which is the way they should play him. So yeah, I'm with you.
Let's dive into our predictions. You want me to go first here?
Yeah, take it.
Did you have to give one on the Knowles 247 podcast or no?
I did, yeah. So it'll be the same.
Okay. So do you just go like across the board same for everything?
I do. I stick with it. You know, I pretty much have my mind made up anyways by Thursday. Now with COVID, you know, unavailabilities, that could change. But for the most part, I pretty much have a feel for what I'm thinking going into the game by Thursday.
Okay. So I got – and I've actually been, I think, pretty accurate here. Like, I was 1 point off in the UAB game.
Pat yourself on the back. I know.
And then I don't know what I did last week. I think I said, like, 41-28. So I was close. I got Miami – 38-14. Like, I just, like, FSU does not have the horses, in my opinion, to run with Miami. Right. And you toss in no Mike Norvell. I think Miami's going to win by double digits, and I think it could get ugly. And I'm not trying to be like Homer, cover Miami guy. I mean, I'm just calling it how I see it. Like, I don't think Georgia Tech is a very good team. Miami struggled with them. I think Florida State has a lot of issues in terms of just the roster and how it's constructed. And, you know, again, though, you got to look at it. It's a rivalry game. These things have been close. I'm sure there'll be a pregame scuffle of something. And, you know, if they get some turnovers, absolutely, I could see this being a close game. But I don't know. Like, it's just I could see Miami, like, racing out to two scores in the first quarter. And then, you know, if you're on that Florida State sidelines, how do you not mail it in? I mean, your head coach isn't going to be there. Like, I could just see
– it's tough, yeah.
You know, this being the one where it really stings for Florida State.
So you're saying 38-14, right?
38-14. But, I really wanted it to go, like, 41-14. I just – I don't want the pushback.
I mean, I think logically – that's extremely fair prediction. I will say this, like, if it was Florida State's roster in Duke uniforms, I would pick that same score, probably, like a similar score.
Is my score too big? Am I overshooting this or what?
No, I don't think you are. I mean, I think everything you said is fair. I just know this game is weird, man. I think Florida State's going to come out swinging. I do think they're going to be better on defense than they were against Georgia Tech. I expect them to take a jump there. On offense, I mean, they will probably be a little better too. I mean, they'll simply be better if their wide receivers catch the ball.
Can Florida State score three touchdowns on Miami?
I think they can score three. I don't know if they can score four. Like, you know, like we said in the previous podcast, I think Miami can hit 30. I don't know if Florida State can hit 28, you know. I would say their ceiling is probably like 24-ish. So that brings me to my prediction. And again, this is more of a prediction about respecting the rivalry. Like, I do think Miami is clearly the better team and could potentially win big. But I'm going to go 31-23, Miami.
Okay. Now you got me, like, worried. I mean, I just, like, pick some numbers. I don't know.
Look, Miami is the better team. And as far as what we've seen, like, going off what we know in 2020, your score is a good score. Like, UCF wrecked Georgia Tech, who, you know, honestly should have beaten Florida State more than they did. Like, they had a bunch of blocked field goals and extra points. That margin should have been greater. It's just this game is weird, man. So I'm like, mind screwing myself with this prediction. So I'm going 31-23.
Okay. I'm sticking with what I'm at, and that's what I'm going to send you for our written predictions. And I don't know. Maybe I'll be completely wrong, and I don't know. I just think I have a good feel for the situation. Or
I agree.
No, like, with 2020, like, if you think you know something, you should just roll with it. And, like, that's kind of been my mentality. Like, if this is what you think, go with what you think. And I will say, I think the total on the game right now is like 54 points. I would definitely lean the under.
Yes. I agree with that.
And if you're Manny, let's say you are up some scores, if you're Manny, do you think, would you call off the dogs?
No. Manny needs to make a statement. He needs
That's the other thing that plays in my prediction. Like, dude, you could be 2-0 against Florida State and, like, you know?
Yeah, and Florida State would then be 0-2 this year. And, you know, it's honestly a statement about recruiting. Like, everyone expects Miami to win this game, but you want to make that statement in the recruiting world about how down Florida State is. So yeah, I mean, look, to the over-under thing, if the over hits, I think you got to feel good about, like, in that scenario, I would assume Miami is blowing out Florida State and scoring a ton of points, and Florida State is in that, like, 14-ish point range, right?
So, right. Well, I could also see this game being, you know, tight in the first half, like, yeah. Tight in the first half, and then Miami starting to pull away in the second half.
I want to see what Florida State's got in the first quarter. Like, they should come out swinging. They should come out with, like you said, some trick plays or misdirection or whatever. Like, if they're not coming out, again, I think it's possible they come out flat. Like, their head coach is not there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it is a rivalry game. So they should come out swinging and you know, show us the best of what they got in that first quarter. And if the best of what they got in that first quarter is not impressive, then blowout potential is there for this game. So we'll see how it goes.
I mean, I'm looking at my local, and if it's like, you know, Miami 21-14 or something at half, like I would make a play on Miami in the second half. That's kind
of
been
the better team. They're the better team.
And the third quarter has been like Miami's quarter. Well, yes. Offensively.
Yes.
Okay. What do you got coming up? I'm actually going out of town over the next 2 days. So I will not be at high school games, but I was at Miami Central on Wednesday. Gonna have some VIP stories coming to the site, updates on Terrence Lewis, Amari Daniels, Yo'Keith Brown, Lawrence Seymour. So look for that.
Yeah. And we got a deal we should highlight too, 60% off an annual sub. So if you want the inside scoop on recruiting, you can get that for a year for like $43. And that deal ends, I think, midnight Saturday night. So, you know, we'll have a ton of buildup to the Florida State game. You know, College Game Day going to be in South Florida on Saturday. And, you know, we'll have you covered all day long. So keep checking out the site. Have you set up this week's pick 'em?
Yes. Yeah. Games are locked in. I'm not doing too hot.
Yeah. I think we're doing the same, to be honest. but yeah, check it out. Dime Life, right? DimeLife.com. They got some good apparel. If you're a Miami fan to go out and buy, participate in the pick 'em with us. It's not that hard right now, but you guys can definitely beat us. I got to get my algorithm in order. We're collecting data. We got SEC starting this week, so I'm starting from zero with that. But sooner or later, my algorithm's going to kick in, and I'll take off. I'm going to shoot up that leaderboard.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.